Acts of individual valor or defiance amid war go mostly unrecorded. But every now and then, a story pierces the fog, and with it, the whole notion of helplessness or intractability. Sudan is at war. Its people are starving. Yet one mother's determination to celebrate the marriage of her youngest daughter roused her community from want to plenty. For a moment in the Nuba Mountains, Amuna Bashir Kodi silenced war not with arms, but with selflessness and gratitude. It's Tuesday, July 1st. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kurt Schillinger. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. The U.S. Department of Justice sued Los Angeles over its sanctuary city immigration policy. The suit, filed Monday, targets the city, city council, and Mayor Karen Bass, stating that their refusal to cooperate with federal immigration authorities violates federal law. It also states that the policy contributed to recent lawlessness, rioting, looting, and vandalism, necessitating the deployment of the National Guard and Marines. For its part, the city is considering filing a lawsuit against the Trump administration to force it to stop unconstitutional arrests of LA residents. Scorching temperatures grip Europe. Forest fires, fanned by high winds and hot, dry weather, damaged some homes in Turkey during a heat wave that has affected much of southern Europe. A heat dome hovered over France, Portugal, and Spain, as well as Turkey, while data from European forecasters expect new highs on Wednesday before rain brings respite in some areas later this week. Also, nations are gathering in Spain to tackle global poverty. They will try to drum up trillions of dollars needed to close the gap between rich and poor nations. Many countries face escalating debt burdens, declining investments, decreasing international aid, and increasing trade barriers. More than 70 world leaders are attending. The U.S. pulled out of the process earlier this month. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. With his stunning rise in New York politics, Zohran Mamdani demonstrated a remarkable crossover appeal for a Democratic Socialist. It's too early to say whether the race will portend a fundamental reordering of the Democratic Party similar to the Republican Tea Party revolt in the 2010s. But with charisma, a masterful use of video, and a message that emphasized New Yorkers' economic insecurities, Mr. Mamdani, who could become the city's first Muslim mayor, won large majorities of voters, from Latino neighborhoods to conservative outer boroughs with sizable Asian populations. Contributor Aaron Short reports from New York for the Monitor. In northwestern Spain, where the Celtic sounds of Galician pipers evoke ancient trade routes, a run-of-the-mill town grapples with a new era of human movement. Last fall, 130 young men arrived from Mali, Senegal, and Nigeria, seeking asylum from war and persecution. At first, they were welcomed by the residents of Monterosso. But as time goes on, the town is becoming a microcosm of the tensions brewing across Europe over immigration. Erica Page reports from Monterosso, Spain, for the Monitor. A cross-section of U.S. progressive and conservative groups is raising alarms about a record low U.S. birth rate and promoting policies to encourage childbearing. A challenge is unlocking why people are having fewer children than they say they want to. Some 73% idealize having two or three children, but the fertility rate is just 1.6. President Donald Trump's budget bill, which passed the U.S. House and was pending in the Senate on Monday, includes measures to support parents, including a boost to the child tax credit. Allie Martin reports for The Monitor. The conflict in Sudan, now in its third year, is the largest and most devastating displacement, humanitarian, and protection crisis in the world today, according to the United Nations. The fighting parties have used hunger as a weapon of war by blocking and looting international aid. Drought and locusts have intensified food scarcity. Yet, in a village in the Nuba Mountains recently, despair gave way to joyful ululating as a wedding revived a community. Andre Popovicho reports from Kauda, Sudan, for The Monitor. Our progress roundup this week ranges from agricultural transformation in Brazil to increased asset ownership across Africa. We also look at how Orange County, California, is a leader in eliminating PFAS forever chemicals from its drinking water. How a woman-staffed hotel is creating jobs in Sri Lanka, a country where women hold only 10% of jobs in the tourism industry. And how an oil-eating marine microbe makes its own detergent. Cameron Pugh and Troy Aiden Sembahan report for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on tending to youth's tender innocence. A series of events in recent days offers insights into how societies might be squaring their obligations toward children. On Friday, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld a Texas law requiring age verification to access websites with largely adult content. On the same day, Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo signed a deal to end a violent conflict in which children as young as 10 years old have been forced into combat. On Sunday, a French law banning smoking in specified public areas came into effect shortly before summer school holidays. And on June 24th, Thailand became the first Asian country to reverse legalization of marijuana, largely out of concern for young people. A common thread among these disparate situations is the priority of and possibility for protecting the safety, dignity, and innocence of those under 18 years of age. As France's health minister, Catherine Vautrin, declared to the newspaper West France, the freedom to smoke ends where children's rights to breathe clean air begins. The world has made much progress in safeguarding young people since the 1989 Convention on the Rights of the Child, the most rapidly ratified human rights treaty in history. That pact enjoined adults and governments to act in the best interests of each child. Now, more than 35 years later, online connectivity and legalization of recreational drugs present new challenges to childhood. Many young people recognize that and are calling for help. In Thailand, for example, the Youth Network Against Cannabis sent a petition to the government last year with some 200,000 signatures asking for marijuana to be reclassified as an outlawed narcotic. In the United Kingdom, a requirement for robust age checks on adult websites goes into force in late July. The impetus comes from the urging of British youth themselves. 70% of children, increasing to 75% of 16 and 17-year-olds, thinks that social media platforms should enforce minimum age requirements, a survey by the Office of the Children's Commissioner found. Listening to such requests can nudge societies toward responses that go beyond paternalism to a protection that respects a child's inherent capacity to discern and seek good. In some cases, adults can learn to find that good as well. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how the science of healing that Christ Jesus demonstrated is still readily available to all, right here and now. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/CS Perspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noel Flatt, Jeff Turton, Hannah Guka, and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.